From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
All right, welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have on tap for you today. First, we're going to talk with C.J. Nikowski, the former Major League pitcher, about all the goings-on with the strange stuff and substances with pitchers. We're also going to catch up with Craig Calcaterra, who has a daily newsletter called Cup of Coffee. He'll give us some baseball insights, that and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Here we go again. Yes, baseball has an issue with players cheating, doing things they're not supposed to. And yesterday we saw Gerrit Cole front and center, looking like he saw a ghost when he was asked the question of whether or not he put foreign substance on the ball. And he said he didn't know how to answer the question. It's either yes or no comment. Or, you know, saying he didn't know how to answer it was very, very well. I felt bad for the guy, like he didn't know what was coming. And, you know, baseball has another issue it has to deal with. And something has to be done because we're seeing these no-hitters all across the board, a record number. We're seeing ERAs all-time low. We're potentially going to have the lowest batting average in the history of baseball. Something is off kilter and not right. And maybe it was hitters before had an advantage, and now pitchers have a big advantage, and it's just not good for the game. We need to get it right to put people on a fair level playing field so that hitters can be hitters, pitchers can be pitchers, and neither side dominates too much. But definitely, baseball needs to jump in and get something straightened out.
Number two.
Tuesday night, Shohei Ohtani was on display in Anaheim. That's right. Better known to me as Shohei Me the Money Ohtani. The two-way phenom hit a projected 470-foot home run to right center field. He jumped all over a 2-2 changeup and blasted it. It was incredible. It was surpassed his previous record of 451 feet. And I don't even know what to say. What kind of season this guy's had and what an impact he's had on baseball. And he is something to watch. He's must-see TV. I live in Los Angeles. Whenever they're playing, I'm always trying to catch his at-bats and put on the TV because it's worth it. I want to see his at-bats. If he's going to pitch, I want to watch him pitch. It's incredible. This is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of guy. We didn't get to see Babe Ruth, but this is as close as we'll probably ever see it. And I don't know. Will this spur on other guys to play two ways? But I'm watching this guy all the time.
Number three.
We know the Baltimore Orioles aren't having a great year. They're in last place in the AL East, but their center fielder, Cedric Mullins, is having a great year. The center fielder coming into Wednesday's batting 325 with 9 home runs, 19 RBIs, 9 stolen bases, and an OPS of 935. And last week, he was named MLB Bro Homeboy Highlights winner when he batted 535. He's swinging a great bat, playing a great center field, and it'll be interesting to see if he makes the All-Star team and whether or not fans look at him and maybe even consider him as a starter in center field for the American League. I know Byron Buxton is coming back from injury from the Twins. He should be the starting center fielder, but he's missed time. But let's tip our caps to Cedric Mullins and the hot bat he's swinging in Baltimore.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast former left-handed pitcher C.J. Nikowski, who is currently a color analyst for the Texas Rangers on Bally Sports Southwest. and a friend of mine who I covered in Detroit. CJ, welcome to the podcast. What's happening?
Not too much, Rob. Good to catch up with you.
No doubt about it. Hey, you're the perfect guy to talk about this, you know, pitching and what's going on in baseball. We know we're at a record rate of more strikeouts than hits. I mean, it's just an incredible phenomenon what's happening this year. We've seen all these no-hitters. CJ, you know, Jacob DeGrom has like a ridiculous ERA that we haven't seen since Bob Gibson. And they had to lower the mound, you know, after Bob Gibson. So where are you on this and the whole spin, spinning the ball or putting foreign substance on the ball? And then we had Gerrit Cole yesterday who basically was asked about putting foreign substance on the ball and said he didn't know how to answer the question. Help me out. What kind of answer was that?
That was amazing, really. And I watched that, and my heart sank from a little bit. Because here's the thing. There are things that have been accepted within the game, even though they're against the rules. No two ways about it. That's not a surprise. But to get flat-out asked that question the way that Ken Davidoff did in that Zoom, and to see his reaction, there was a lot of silence. There was a lot of pauses in between words. And, you know, he said, without saying it with his words, I think we all kind of knew exactly what the answer was to that question. And I'm not a big fan of yes or no questions. Like, I always want to give a guy an opportunity to talk through it a little bit more, but there had to be a yes or a no in there somewhere, and there wasn't. And so we were left to draw our own conclusions, and I think we all probably drew the same conclusion. Going back to what you were talking about with 1968 and Bob Gibson and thinking about how ridiculous pitchers were, so much so that they had to lower the mound. Yeah, the strikeout rate back then was about 15%. You know, basically plate appearances that ended in the strikeout were 15%. That number is now 25%.
Wow.
It was 10% worse from the strikeout standpoint when we lowered the mound since 1968. Just to give fans an idea of just what a difference it really is when it comes to putting the ball in play. And Major League Baseball has shown us in the past they're not afraid to make some changes to the rules to try to even things out.
And how common of a practice is this? I mean, without giving up secrets or naming names, I mean, how is this going on throughout Major League Baseball, and is this the norm rather than, you know, the anomaly?
Yeah, listen, it always has. It's very difficult to put a number on it. I'm always careful to do that. We tried to do it with the PED era, and I was even surprised, quite honestly. Like, I had an idea maybe where we were, and then as things started kind of falling apart, I was like, oh, wow, it's probably more than I realized even when I was playing. So I can tell you that, you know, I threw my last pitch in January of 2012 down in the Dominican Republic, and we were certainly still using it then. I'd use pine tar at different parts of my career, struggling, you know, maybe with grip or just wanted to get my curveball to spin a little bit more. Maybe I was just struggling on the mound. So I'd go through phases. I wouldn't call it an everyday, all-the-time thing. I'd say that's probably the case for a lot of guys, and weather does play a role. I was talking about trying to pitch in Chicago in April. It was tough. It was really tough. You know, to be able to get a grip on the baseball was a real challenge in those spots. And so definitely, I would look for something to help me, whether it was firm grip, whether it was some pine tar, maybe it was some other concoction. I mean, you know, players would try anything to keep the dream alive and to continue to stay in the game. So it's difficult to put a number, but I will certainly say and feel comfortable saying more common than uncommon.
We're speaking with former Major League left-handed pitcher C.J. Nikowski, who broke in with the Cincinnati Reds in 1995, played for the Tigers, the Astros, the Mets, the Rangers. I'm running out of breath here, C.J. The Braves,
yeah,
the Yankees.
My family doesn't even know what team. I mean, then you start going overseas and to every country.
Yes.
It's a challenge. The challenge is real.
No doubt. And last in the big leagues in 2005 with the Washington Nationals. Here's my other thing in the major leagues with pitchers and putting stuff on the ball or whatnot. We have a couple legendary pitchers. Gaylord Perry's in the Hall of Fame. And that was his whole MO, you know, whether he was doing it or faking batters out. Phil Niekro is another guy. If you remember, I think it was Phil who had an emery board he flipped out of his back pocket right on the mound in front of everybody. I mean, this has been attached to baseball for a while. Can baseball honestly clean this up? Can this be cleaned up?
I think they can. And, you know, we almost laugh about those old days because, you know, then it's a little bit of a difference, right? Scuffing the baseball compared to using maybe a foreign substance. And I say different just in the practice, you're still going to get a similar result. But you may get a guy that would try to scuff one once in a while. Or you wouldn't do it all the time if you were worried about getting caught. But I do think with a sticky substance, you pretty much, once you have it on your hand, you have it on your hand. And not that one is better than the other, but they are a little bit different. And perhaps we should have been a little bit more harsh about it over the years, because the rule has always been in place that you could do it. But, the idea of reversing this thing is going to be a challenge for baseball. They're now pulling out all the stops, and I think part of it, going back to what we were just talking about, is because the pitchers are so good and the offense is struggling. We are at a historic low in batting average, and if this keeps up, we will have the lowest batting average ever in the history of our game. And Trevor Bauer kind of brought this thing to light a couple of years ago, right, when he sort of kind of called out the Houston Astros without naming specific names and saying, well, these guys have made huge jumps in spin rate. You shouldn't be able to do that unless you're cheating, right? And so all of a sudden now there was a spotlight on this thing because of that, and now we're seeing the really bad offense and the domination of pitchers. And so he is a guy that's been kind of behind this, whether he wanted to be or not. He probably pushed the attention on this a little bit more than maybe he intended. And now Major League Baseball's got to do something about it. It's going to become a real challenge. I think it'll be interesting to watch these next couple of weeks, especially after what we saw with Gerrit Cole. Nobody else wants to stand up there in front of reporters and have to answer that question. Now, it could be, are you using something now, or have you used something in the past? Those are two different questions. But I think a lot of guys will probably be extra careful because all eyes are on them, but now it's even more eyes, and it's more cameras, and people trying to figure out exactly what in the heck is going on here. So they will try to crack down. Like anything else, guys will try to do what they can and try to still be sneaky. But it does happen in our game. It has been happening, and Major League Baseball has got their hands full trying to stop this thing.
CJ, last thing, and I mentioned Jacob DeGrom earlier. His ERA is, 0.62 or something like that? Yeah, like a crazy number. Should we look at him and go, man, he is just lights out? Or now do we have to look and go, I don't know. Is he that good, or is it what's going on in the game? Do you know what I mean? It kind of takes a little bit away from we always knew he was a great pitcher, right? Even before this has come out. But to have a 0.62 ERA, which we haven't seen, I think I'm going to have to question it. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, no, listen, I think it's fair, and that's the reality, that's the nature of what we do now in the media, is when something sticks out so drastically, and then you hear about what some other guys are doing, you can't help but wonder a little bit, and as much as it may seem unfair to the player, it's probably a fair question. Now, it again goes back to the steroid era, right? There's, like, to me, it's one of the biggest tragedies of our sports history, is that it was so fun, right? When we were kids, to sit there and watch a guy, say, with 50 home runs going into September, and wondering, could he be the one? Could he do it? Could he beat Roger Maris's record? And it never, ever happened. And it's six times now that it happened since, every single guy is tied to PEDs. I wouldn't talk about Maris anymore in 61 home runs. And that is a tragedy in our game. And I feel like we've been robbed of something because these guys just went nuts with the 60-plus and then 73 home runs. And so now when you're seeing guys do some unbelievable things with strikeout rates and ERAs, and now you start hearing about other things that were going on, you can't help but be a little bit suspicious. I have no suspicions personally about Jacob DeGrom, but at the same time, I get why people may ask that question. And anybody else, and listen, you saw the look on Gerrit Cole's face. What if you're the New York Yankees right now and you gave him that huge $300 million contract? You saw how much better he got going from Pittsburgh to Houston, and you start to wonder about, okay, was he using some substances that helped him be that good? And is he going to stop now? And what does that mean for the rest of the time under this contract with the Yankees? I don't doubt that they're at least a little bit concerned, and I don't doubt that their fans are really concerned. Hopefully it's not going to be as drastic as a drop-off, and he's not back to the guy who he was in Pittsburgh, and I don't think that'll be the case. But when you have guys that have dominated over these last few years and have been better than they were a couple of years ago at this level, and now we're hearing about the sticky stuff and what effect it can have on their pitchers, I think we all need to be a little bit curious, and the people that are asking the questions need to ask them.
No doubt about it, man. CJ, thanks for your knowledge, man. We really appreciate it. CJ Nikowski with the Texas Rangers broadcast team on television doing the games down there. CJ, we'll catch up with you soon, my man. Stay well.
All right. Sounds good, Rob. Great to catch up.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Offense in baseball this season, like resistance, is futile. The league-wide average is the lowest since 1968, The OBP, the lowest, is 1972, and of course, strikeout totals are at an all-time high, continuing a decades-long trend. But what hit the news this past week was the outing of a dirty little secret the men on the mound possess, the use of foreign substances on the baseball in order to increase spin and movement. And take a pitcher who gets a league average spin rate on his four-seam fastball, this year about 2,300 RPMs, basically what Indian starter Aaron Savali records. His four-seamer getting hit around a 254 clip this year, again, about average. Then take the Dodgers spin rate maven Trevor Bauer, whose four-seamer goes up there at a clip of over 2,800 RPMs, over 130 RPMs higher than the next closest pitcher in the league. His four-seamer is hit at a 143 mark this year. That's a big difference. Now, Garrett Cole, Clayton Kershaw, and Bauer, among others, saw significant decreases in spin rates in their first start since MLB's announcement on the crackdown. Bauer's first start in Atlanta on June 5th, for example, saw his spin rate on his fastball dip over 200 RPMs lower than his yearly average to date. Could be coincidence, sure, but you can bet stat heads and the commissioner's office alike will be hitting up the Baseball Savant game feed on Bauer's starts going forward.
And what that ball is!
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
The scrappy San Francisco Giants have surged past the glitz and glam Dodgers and the new breed Padres in the NL West standings, giving the division's three teams that could legitimately win a World Series. JR, is it foul or fair to say that the NL West is the best division in baseball?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
It's still the American League East. It's a dogfight in that division. I get it. The Padres are the fancy new toy with Tatis Jr. and company, and they're exciting, and media can't stop talking about how Tatis Jr. compares with the all-time greats like Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth at this juncture of his young career. But we get it. When the new girl comes into the school, the head cheerleader isn't the most sought after anymore. But she's still A1. Let's not forget, she's just not getting the same attention. The American League East remains the only division in baseball where four of the five teams have records over 500. Nobody's a slouch in that division. And even the last place Orioles, the only team in the division with the losing record, they're tough out. After the three California teams in the National League West, there's a significant drop off to the Arizona Diamondbacks and Colorado Rockies, who, let's be honest, folks, they're just both god-awful right now. And once they start unloading veterans later in the season, they'll basically be automatic W's for anybody that plays them, especially the three powerhouse teams within their division. So I'll say the best divisional race in baseball, yes, it's in the top-heavy NL West. But the best division in baseball remains the American League East, where the Yankees are in fourth place. The Red Sox, Blue Jays, and last year's AL champion Rays, obviously, were underrated entering the season. The Beast Division remains the AL East, as it's been for some decades now, give or take a few seasons.
Take out the papers in the trash!
Yeah. It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
All right, this week's trash comes from at the Smack, and he tweeted me this. Enough already with Aaron Boone and the Yankees. I can't watch my team. The Yankees need to make a move. Boone or the GM, Cashman need to go. The Bronx deserves better. I'm tired of watching this. End quote. That came from JD at the Smack on Twitter. And if you want your tweet read on Trash Talking, hit me up on Twitter at Rob Parker FS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome in Craig Calcaterra, formerly of NBC Sports, but doing his own thing these days. He has a daily newsletter called cup of coffee, and we're going to talk baseball with Craig. Hey, Craig, thanks. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
No doubt. So many different things to talk about. Couple teams I want to pepper you about and find out. Let's start in the AL East and the Tampa Bay Rays, who just, I mean, they've traded Blake Snell. Everybody thought they threw the towel in. They went to the World Series a year ago. And here we are in June, and they're in first place, game and a half ahead of the Red Sox going into Wednesday. Can they sustain this? Are they really this good?
They are really this good. And that's the thing about the Rays. You mentioned them getting rid of Blake Snell. You mentioned them. They got rid of Charlie Morton. It doesn't matter with the Rays. They are the epitome of the next man up kind of team in baseball. You don't see that in baseball very often. You hear about that in football, basketball. But the Rays are definitely that way. The depth of that team is absolutely incredible. Tyler Glasnow is a future Cy Young winner as a starter, so they're not going to miss Blake Snell. Rich Hill, 41 years old. They're getting a new level out of him this year. And then the real power of this team is the bullpen. They are always five or six guys deep, and five or six guys who are better than the top two on half the teams in baseball. And this year, for the first time in a long time, they're getting a lot of offense too. They're getting a lot of power. They're getting on base at probably the best clip in the league, if not the best. They're definitely up near the top. Solid team, probably the strongest team top to bottom in the American League.
Let's move to the AL Central. We all know the White Sox, they survived that little storm with Tony La Russa and Mercedes, and the clubhouse not feeling that great about La Russa calling out the young player. But I want to talk about the Minnesota Twins and what has happened to them. Byron Buxton is coming back for them. But when he went out, they went straight down to the bottom. They're in last place in the AL Central, even below the Detroit Tigers, who are rebuilding. What happened there, Craig?
Just a complete across-the-board failure. The starting pitching did not come through. J.A. Happ has been a disaster. Matt Shoemaker has been an even bigger disaster. Those were a couple of guys that really needed to step up. Their ace, Jose Berrios, he's good, but he's not where they need him to be right now. The bullpen has been terrible. They've also been extraordinarily unlucky. Their record in extra inning games, I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's like really, really bad. I think they've won one extra inning game out of something like eight or nine. They've lost a lot of one-run games. If anything has gone wrong for this team, it has. And like you mentioned, Buxton, he is the straw that stirs the drink there. And losing him for so long makes this lineup so much easier to pitch to. Been a huge, huge problem for them. They're going to be a seller at the deadline at this point. I don't think they're going to be able to dig out of this hole. You're going to see someone like a Nelson Cruz on the market. And it's going to be a retrench year. A lot of talent. They're going to be fine again next year probably. But I think they dug themselves too deep a hole.
Our guest is Craig Calcaterra from the Cup of Coffee Daily Newsletter. Let's go to the National League and the NL East. I don't know how the Mets are in first place, but they are. I guess it's all pitching. 29-24 coming into Wednesday. Do they have enough offense? Will they be able to survive this? I know the pitching has been outstanding.
You know, the worst thing that happened to them was in that first month, beginning of May, when they lost all those guys to injuries. They lost Conforto. He's still gone, obviously, but they have lost Pete Alonso for a while. They're still out Jeff McNeil. And Francisco Lindor hasn't played well at all, and they're still in first place. I think that's the thing that's going to tell me that they have some staying power. They took a big hit, and they did it at the right time. They did it when the Braves weren't doing anything. The Nationals are clearly not the team we thought they'd be. The Phillies have been a mess in a lot of ways. A good time for the Mets to get hurt. I think, if anything, they're going to be stronger. Lindor is not going to be a below-average hitter all year. He's not a 200, 212 hitter, whatever he's doing right now. That is not going to be sustainable. He's going to do better. He's going to go on a tear. Conforto is going to come back, and he's going to be all right. Pete Alonso, what can you say about him? He's been fantastic, but he has another gear over what he's doing now. I think the Mets are pretty formidable. And look, let's not undersell. I don't believe in, you know, in all the good juju, bad juju, and all that stuff that surrounds the team. But getting a new owner, getting a new mindset, getting a new front office, that's a big deal for this team. I think the defeatism that you often see with the Mets, that, oh, when is the other shoe going to drop, that's not there anymore, and that's a big, big thing for them.
Last thing I want to ask you about the NL West. Before the season started, I picked the San Diego Padres over the Dodgers. They've won the division 8 years in a row, and they won the World Series last year. I just thought at some point, you know what I mean, you're not going to win. Not that they're not a good team and formidable, but the Giants have staying power. Coming into Wednesday, they were 7-3 in their last 10. The Padres were 3-7. They lead the Padres by 2 games. Can the Giants stand up to the Padres and the Dodgers and win the division?
They are the team that surprises me more than anything else. I thought they'd be better than they have the last couple of years, but I still thought they were on the downslope on the way towards a rebuild as opposed to having that rebound year that they've got right now. But, you know, who would have guessed Buster Posey, after all of his injuries and all the miles on his odometer, would have a comeback year like this? He's an MVP candidate, for crying out loud, and he's been doing it. Longoria, he just got hurt, obviously, but Longoria has been like his old self with the Rays. It's like 10 years ago for him. Mike Yastrzemski, again, he's hurt too. Like, everybody in baseball is hurt right now. I have no idea what's going on. But Yastrzemski has been solid. They've got way more offense than I ever would have thought they would. And then another one, Brandon Crawford. Another of the old-timers, guy from the World Series team, just playing like it's 2012 again. I don't know if that's sustainable. Unlike the other teams we talked about, I really couldn't tell you. I don't think, you know, Kevin Gausman, for example, has been their best starting pitcher. He's not as good as he's shown. He's not a 1.2 ERA kind of guy. So I think over the course of the long season, the Giants, even though they're in first right now, are maybe the most vulnerable because L.A., San Diego, just way deeper, way younger, way healthier. And I, you know, if you ask me now, I'm going to say the Dodgers are going to win the division again just because they've got so much talent. But the Giants team, absolutely wonderful surprise. I think we're going to get 3 playoff teams out of the NL West.
All right, Craig, how can people get your daily newsletter, Cup of Coffee?
You could just go to cupofcoffee, all one word, .substack.com. It's a subscription, but every Thursday is free, so you can check it out and get a taste, see if you like it. I think you're going to like it. Every morning in your inbox before 7 a.m. Eastern Time, a full digest of everything you need to know in Major League Baseball.
There it is, Craig Calcaterra. We appreciate you, Craig. Thanks for the knowledge.
Thanks for having me.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Reason number 1,050 why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. It ain't even close. That comes into paraphernalia gear that fans can wear, unlike the other sports. Everybody doesn't look good in a basketball tank top, right? And a baseball jersey with your name on the back and the number of your favorite player and baseball caps, we know all that stuff is great. And anybody can wear a baseball jersey without looking dumpy or crazy looking. And nobody wears NBA hats or NFL hats. Not really. But Major League Baseball with your city, repping your city on the front. And then here comes Nike with the MLB City Connect series. And they've been doing these funky, nice jerseys, different colors. And the next one that's coming out will be the Chicago Cubs are going to have one. And they're going to be worn on field for the first time on June 12th. And I got to look at the jersey. It is beautiful. It has a blue, a navy blue, and a light blue, and like a token, a Chicago token for the subway on it. So these are all these very special jerseys that represent the cities from the places where these teams are. And we saw the Red Sox had one that had a yellow jersey. And the next one is the Cubs. So look out for it. It's the Nike MLB City Connect series. Next up, the Chicago Cubs, something to add to your closet. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.